in this moment, as we remember your goodness to us, our lips overflow with thanks, like honey overflowing from a honeycomb. And from the bottom of our hearts, O God, we say thank you. Loving and gracious God, you know us better than we know ourselves. And you know that there are times when we take you and all your generosity to us for granted. When we forget to say thank you. Forgive us, O God, and change us. Forgive us for the times when we have said thank you for blessing us, but have not put our words into actions that bless others. For the times when you have called us and we have not responded because we thought we knew best, or because we were afraid to follow. We confess, O God, that time after time we let shallow self-interest take over in our lives. There are times, O God, when we forget who and whose we are. Help us in those times, O God, to see ourselves through your eyes. Would you take a moment to sit with God, to listen to what God has to say to you as you bring your prayer of confession? Forgive us, O God, and change us, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. People of God at Kenmore Uniting Church, hear this and believe it. Whatever you have done or failed to do, God loves you and forgives you and frees you to begin again. And that's the great good news, the news we need to hear today and every day. Thanks be to God. And let's say it together. Thanks be to God. And we're going to sing now, celebrating that God is with us forever, that God is our faithful God. Let's sing forever.
Thank you.
Let Israel now say. Then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against it. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. We have escaped like birds from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. And we have escaped. If the Lord, if God had not been on our side, the psalmist says, let all Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when our foes rose up against us, then we would have been swallowed alive. But the psalmist says, the Lord is on our side. The psalmist doesn't tell us, and we don't know what specific events in the life of Israel this psalm is about. And it's hard to know because throughout their history, God's people were often in danger, at risk, in an uneven battle, vulnerable, helpless to save themselves. Time after time, there were God's people, Israel, and there were Israel's enemies, two uneven contestants. What if God had not been on Israel's side? What would have happened if Israel had had to rely on its own power? If it was just us, little Israel, and them, the enemy, when Israel faced their enemy. What does the psalmist say? Israel would have been doomed, would have been hopelessly defeated. But the psalmist knows, and God's people know, that they do not have to rely on their own power. There is always a third party in the drama. There is always God right there with them. God on their side. An actor, part of every situation. And the psalmist is absolutely confident that the Lord is not just there, but is there for us. So he says, we are not swallowed up. We are not swept away. We are not doomed. Because God acts for Israel. And only because God acts for Israel, the psalmist tells us, we are utterly safe. I'm wondering if that resonates with you. If there have been times in your life when you too have said, if it had not been God who was on my side, I would have had no hope at all. When you realise that the only thing sustaining you in the midst of disastrous circumstances was God's strong arm. Because in the tough times, when we feel alone, when we feel under attack, within and without, take in the worst of bad news, when we are waiting to hear whether the news is good or bad, when we are facing a loss so great we cannot even imagine what it will be like, we are not alone. As God's 21st century people, God promises to be there for us, to be there with us, our support, our strength. As God's 21st century people, we can trust God and to stand with us in the good times and the bad. As God's 21st century people, our help, as the psalmist says, is in the name of the Lord. who made heaven and earth. Because we do have family and health and finance concerns. Sometimes the world is a threatening place. There is war, there is climate change, there are natural disasters, there is crime. There are all kinds of threats that could make us feel overwhelmed, vulnerable. If it had not been that we know that the Lord is on our side. But because, and so we are not overwhelmed because we know that. So we will not be swallowed up by our enemies. We will not be swamped by trouble. We will not be trapped in impossible situations because we have hope. We have hope because we know that the Lord is on our side. And when we need help, we are not left struggling on our own. I'm just going to say this once more because I think we all need to hear it a lot of times. Because we know, you can join me if you like, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. If God had not been on Israel's side, they would not have existed at all. If God had been not on their side, Abraham and Sarah would never have had children. Isaac would never have been born in their old age. If God had not been on their side, Pharaoh would have kept God's people in slavery or slaughtered them on the banks of the Red Sea. If God had not been on their side, they would have perished in the wilderness. If God had not been on their side, they would never have defeated the Canaanites and possessed the promised land. If God had not been on their side, they would have ceased to exist when they were taken into exile in Babylon. But God is on their side. They survive. They survive. This morning we're going to explore a little bit of the story of Esther. You know, Esther is my superhero. When I was a child, as a Sunday school prize, I got a little book that was the story of Esther. And ever since then, that's for a lot of years, Esther has been my hero of the faith. She's courageous. She's clever. She's a woman of faith. I want to encourage you to read the whole book of Esther. It takes you about 5 minutes. It's just little. But it's a story of tenacious courage, a story of Esther's willingness to act boldly and to trust God, despite the powerful forces raging against her. Do you know what? God is not mentioned in the book of Esther. When you read it, you will say, well, where is God here? But you know what? All over it. All over it. I've just said it isn't long, but you know what? It is too long for us to read here this morning. So I'm going to give you a condensed version. Our story begins when Ahasuerus, king of the Persian Empire, was looking for a new queen. I won't tell you the backstory on that. The king chose Esther, who was very beautiful, to be his queen. Esther was a Jewess. Who was adopted by her cousin Mordecai when her parents died. You need to know too that Mordecai uncovered a plot to assassinate the king and through Esther saved the king's life. Haman was a high official in the king's court, like a prime minister, who was very proud. He ordered that everyone must bow down to him, but Mordecai, who's a Jew, would not bow down to anyone but God, and so he refused. So Haman plotted against not just Mordecai, but all the Jews in the land. He sent out a decree, which he sealed with the king's own seal, and the story of how he got that is interesting, and ordered that all Jews, from the youngest to the oldest, should be killed on a certain date. And he had a very high gallows built so that he could hang Mordecai there himself. Are you following? Good. You know, I never thought about this before, but this sounds very like a soap opera, doesn't it? So now we're going to hear the part of the story that is what we really want to listen to this morning, and I've got some lovely people who are going to come out and tell you that story.
Next to King Ahasuerus, Haman was the most powerful man in the kingdom. When Mordecai, a Jew, offended Haman, he plotted to have every Jewish man, woman and child in the land slaughtered. But though Haman didn't know it, Queen Esther was a Jewess. Mordecai appealed to her to use her influence with King to save her people. For as he says to her,
"Who knows, perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this."
So Esther went to King Ahasuerus and invited him and Haman to a banquet. So the king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther,
"What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled."
And then Queen Esther answered,
"If I have won your favour, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me, that is my petition, and the lives of my people, that is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had men and women, I would have held my peace, but no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king."
Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther,
"Who is he and where is he? Who has presumed to do this?"
Esther said,
"A foe and enemy, this wicked Haman."
Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Harbona, one of the eunuchs and attendants on the king, said,
"Look, the very gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word in times past saved the king, stands at Haman's house, 50 cubits high."
And the king said,
"Hang Haman on that."
And so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he'd prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king abated. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, saying,
"Keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and also the 15th day of the same month, year by year, as the days on which the Jews gained relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and presents to the poor."
Days to remember that they have trusted in God and God has saved them. In the reading, Mordecai said to Esther, "Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for such a time as this." And what he's saying is, perhaps God put you there to do this one big task, to save your people. But what if God had placed Esther in the palace for such a time as this, and Esther had been afraid to act? Because, you know, no one, not even the queen, could go into the inner court of the king's palace uninvited. To do that, to go to the king, was risking death. So the question here for Esther is, what will I do? She could have given up and hoped that someone else would be able to save the people. She has no superpower, no special weapons, like a superhero would. She could have said, this is too much for me to deal with. I can't do this. It's too scary. Maybe I'll be saved. But instead, she did what she could do with what she had. She asked all her people, all the Jewish people in the land, to fast for 3 days and to pray. To pray that God would be with her when she went in to the king. And then she went to the king. I always had this mental picture of Esther standing at the door with her hand about to open it, thinking, do I do this? Or do I turn around and go away? It's not too late. But she doesn't. She pushes open the door. And the king is pleased to see her. He holds out his scepter and she is safe. She invites the king and Haman to a special banquet where she plans to reveal Haman's treachery. And the story goes on from there. Because of her courage, her people were saved. What about us here and now? Esther is such a great role model for us. Remember I said she simply did what she could do with what she had. That's it. And she trusted God. If God strategically placed Esther in the palace of King Ahasuerus for such a time as that, then is it so difficult to believe that God has strategically placed you and me here, where we are, for such a time as this? Because you and I have been called here to be the church, to be Kenmore Uniting Church, to be Jesus' disciples. For such a time as this, at this very time, in this very place, Queen Esther was called to save her people. What are you called to do in this place, in this hour? Why has God placed you here? You know, Esther had no power or authority of her own. And that's why I love the story so much. She had nothing except God. The king had almost unlimited power of life and death over Esther and all his subjects. Haman had far, far more power in his own right than Esther did. She was powerless to save her people against so great a foe. But God had placed Esther there for such a time as that. And through her, God, not Esther, but God saved her people. You know, when you and I feel that we cannot save, rescue, or defend ourselves, or those God calls us to love in his name, that is not the end of the story. Because when we cannot, God can. Our help is in the name of the Lord who has all power in heaven and earth. the offering is received, we are going to sing, Great is Your Faithfulness. You know how it goes, you remain seated in the last verse, you stand. Let's sing. Ways in which you have blessed us. So take these offerings. Take our lives, O God, and use both to change the world in Jesus' name. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Great to see you this morning, and great also to see some people back who've been away for a little while. Sylvia, nice that you're here now, and congratulations on winning that wonderful quilt in the raffle last rather. Now, I hope you've all picked up your reflections. Of course, it has quite a lot of information about what happened at Artburst last weekend, how much money was raised, and other great stories about the weekend too. So thanks to everyone who sent me in their little part and what they had found out and what they'd seen. It's very, and the photos. It's all the different responses and connections that were made. There's also a bit more information about our plans for looking into the future. So don't forget to actually read it very carefully. We've quite a big job to prepare this submission for the presbytery, really, before Christmas, and the council is working through that, but we need your help. So we will be asking various groups to go through the ideas relevant to their group that came back from the workshop, not only their own ideas, but the ideas from everybody else as well. So we will be asking you to do some responses from there. So Wendy's got a little bit in her report about that. It's quite a deadline. Now, you've noticed probably that there's an easel over here. It's not an installation from Touchstones, as somebody asked me, but it's a copy of our pastoral network and another one on the other table near the side exit door. It's a complete list, we hope. Do check, make sure your name is on it. It's not a membership list. It's a list of all the people who come and join in our activities. So it also shows you which member of council is the contact person. This is just our structure for making sure we can keep in touch with everyone. So please do check that and make sure that you are there. And if you aren't, please come and tell me. I'm hoping we won't find that there are too many who have been missed out. Thank you.
Let us pray. Caring God, as we gather here this morning, we know that our country is at odds over which way to vote in the referendum before us. In this final week, may all dialogues be marked by respect and careful listening, and that ultimately there will be a good outcome. We give thanks that the disability report has highlighted the difficulties experienced by many people. May careful thought be given by all authorities to make changes so that individual needs can be met in safe and inclusive ways. Every day, through the media, we are alerted to people experiencing difficulty. We pray for the homeless, people in fear of violence, those living in terror of war, especially in the Middle East and Ukraine, and those experiencing natural disasters, such as earthquakes, bushfires, and floods. We give thanks for all who risk their lives to save others. We pray for those who are ill or sad, anxious or in pain, and are mindful of those dear to us today. Loving God, may our eyes see the needs of others. May our ears hear the cries of the world and our voices speak of you. May our hands work for your reign and our feet walk on your path. May our lives be used in your service. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus and say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I do want to say a couple of things. Our sister congregation in the Presbytery is Rosewood Uniting Church. I've been talking to Rob Duncan, who's their ministry agent, and he says, would we please pray for their... they are in a process of visioning of where their future might be. Would we pray for them? I guess all God's church is in that process a lot of the time, but they are particularly doing that now. So please pray for them this week as they do that. And the other thing I wanted to say was, I've got here a list of some questions that we would like groups and activities to be able to try to answer for us. The feedback on those particular groups that came, that Dawn very kindly copied for us from the rough data on the big sheets, and a list of the groups. Would you please take, if you are responsible for a group and you need to go back and talk to some people, other people in that group about these things, take a copy of what the feedback would be for your group and a copy of the things that the church council would like us to explore about each group. The God who called you here to work placed you right where you are now, for such a time as this, and send you into the world in the week ahead to fulfil that destiny. Go with joy. go with joy to serve God and love others in Jesus' name. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit be with you each and everyone now and always. Amen. And we're going to go out with joy as we sing, "You Shall Go Out With Joy."